One of the special opportunities we have as general authorities is to visit the Stakes of Zion. 30 to 40 times each year, we find ourselves staying in a different home of a different stake president. We have the privilege of being guests in the greatest homes you'll find in all the world. Let me tell you about one of my recent experiences as I was assigned to a stake conference to release a stake president who had served for many, many years. It was a difficult stake to administer. The stake had been losing population. It was located near one of our major city centers. Industry had moved in. With the growth of industry, many of the members had moved out to more suburban areas. Because of his assignment, he had stayed in the area to shepherd the flock. He had not found it to be a hopeless situation. Through his energy, effort, and great enthusiasm, the stake started to grow once again. As the weekend progressed, his children came by auto and air, returning home to pay tribute to their father for his years of faithful service. I found a special spirit in this home. They were a very close family. How they enjoyed being together. As I stood to address the conference in its final session, there seated to my left sat his entire family, tears streaming down their faces as they honored their father on this grand occasion. Following the conference session, I had been invited to stay for family dinner before leaving for the airport to fly home. As the family gathered around the table, the father requested that we kneel in family prayer. Kneeling in prayer, I discovered their strength. This family understood their relationship to God, their eternal Father. They understood their relationship to their earthly father and mother, to their brothers and sisters. The brotherhood and sisterhood existing in this family unit made it easy for them to stretch beyond their borders to friends and neighbors. Being a guest in so many different homes over the last few years has certainly convinced me that a special spirit is clearly evident when a family prays together. Our prophets have admonished us repeatedly to make family prayer a regular part of our daily worship. President John Taylor asked the saints, "Do you have prayers in your family? And when you do you go through the operation like the grinding of a fine piece of machinery? Or do you bow in meekness and with a sincere desire to seek the blessings of God upon you and your household?" That is the way we ought to do it, and cultivate a spirit of devotion and trust in God, dedicating ourselves to Him and seeking His blessings. President Heber J. Grant, in referring to this matter, said, "I have little or no fear for the boy or the girl, the young woman or young man, who honestly and conscientiously supplicates God twice a day for the guidance of His Spirit. I am sure that when temptation comes, they will have the strength to overcome it by the inspiration that shall be given to them." As parents, it is clearly our duty and privilege to teach our children to pray, and regular family prayer sets the pattern. Prayer is a divine fellowship with God. Such spiritual companionship brings a matchless blessing. I believe families who pray together understand the meaning and comfort the Savior was trying to give His believers as He offered His inspiring prayer as His earthly ministry was coming to an end. "I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. President Heber J. Grant once counseled us, the minute a man stops supplicating God for his spirit and direction, just so soon he starts out to become a stranger to him and his works. When men stop praying for God's spirit, they place confidence in their own unaided reason, and they gradually lose the spirit of God. Just the same as near and dear friends, by never writing to nor visiting with each other, will become strangers. Prayer endows us with the power to draw near to our eternal Father. How important it is, then, that one of our fundamental teachings to our children is how to pray. Could I encourage you to consider the subject of prayer in your discussions as you hold family home evenings? Could I direct your teaching of prayer to at least four main areas of emphasis? First, the way we address our Father in heaven in prayer. I listen to so many prayers offered and wonder who they are addressing. The salutation is so complicated, I find it difficult to comprehend the being to which the prayer is being directed. I am reminded of the occasion when the first Congress was trying to determine how to address the president of our country. The suggestion came out that he would be called His Highness, President of the United States, Protector of Liberties of the same. Washington's reply was merely, "Just call me Mr. President." When the Lord instructed his disciples on how to pray, he said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In the words of other prayers given to us by the Savior, the term Father is also used. O God, our eternal Father, is the way the Lord instructed us to bless the sacrament. By use of the word Father, we understand our relationship to Him. He is our eternal Father, and we are His children. Teach your children how to address the Lord in prayer. Second, use the sacred language of prayer. We should always address deity by using the sacred pronouns, thou, thee, thy, and thine. The late President Stephen L. Richards once gave us this wise counsel. We have discovered a lack of proper teaching with reference to prayer. I know that I myself have been shocked out in the mission field as I have heard missionaries called on for prayer who seem to have had no experience or training whatever in the use of the language of prayer. I think, my brethren, that in our quorums, as in our classes, you would do well, as in your homes also, to teach the language of prayer, thee and thou rather than you. It always seems to be disappointing to me to have our Father in heaven, our Lord, addressed as you. It is surprising how much we see of this. I think you might make note of it and avail yourself of any opportunity that may come in order to teach the sacred and reverential language of prayer. Let us teach our children to use the language of prayer. Third, offer prayers of gratitude. I was requested to bless a lad who was having problems in his young life a few weeks ago. After the blessing, as I prepared to leave, His mother said to him, "Son, thank him for the blessing before he leaves. Instead of turning to me, he lowered his head, folded his arms, and thanked his Father in heaven." How perceptive children are. As I have opportunity of kneeling each night and morning with my wife in prayer, I am full of gratitude for the blessing and privilege of having her companionship. I am filled with gratitude for the blessing that comes through my children and their lives as I am able to be with them and watch their growth and progress. When you are on your knees in prayer, there is an overwhelming feeling of gratitude to the Lord for the many blessings that He bestows on His children. How blessed we are for our understanding of who He is. How blessed we are as a people for the gift of the gospel. I marvel at what He has created for our use and benefit and for the privilege of enjoying this earthly experience. My heart is especially filled with gratitude at this season of harvest. When I go out to dig a hill of potatoes and there find many fold over the small piece I planted a few months before, or pull off an ear of corn and see that the two or three kernels placed in the earth now yield 100-fold, as I travel and see the beauties of His creations, the mountains, the fertile plains, the sparkling streams, or the mighty ocean, how grateful I am for His blessings to me. When we kneel in family prayer, let us teach our children to express gratitude unto the Lord for His many blessings to us. Fourth, our petitions to the Lord. The prophet Joseph Smith at one time stated, "We would say to the brethren, seek to know God in your closets, call upon Him in the fields. Follow the direction of the Book of Mormon and pray over your families, your cattle, your flocks, your herds, your corn, and all you possess. Ask the blessings of God upon all your labors and everything you are engaged in." President Brigham Young once counseled us, "Again, suppose a family wished to assemble for prayer. What would be orderly and proper? For the head of the house to call his wife and children, and when they are present, he prays aloud, and all who are old enough to understand should mentally repeat the words falling from their lips. And why so? That all may be one." Let us teach our children to pray for courage, for opportunity, for comfort, for peace, for understanding, and not for material gifts. Let us teach them to pray, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." President Kimball has counseled us, "There is always time for prayer. There will always be a moment of blessed solitude, of closeness to our Father in heaven, of freedom from worldly cares and things. When we kneel in family prayer, our children at our side, on their knees, they are learning habits that will stay with them all through their lives. If we do not take time for prayer, what are we actually saying to our children is, 'Well, it isn't very important anyway. We won't worry about it. If we can do it when it is conveniently, we will have our prayers. But if the school bell rings or the bus is coming, our employment is calling, well, prayer isn't very important. We will do it when it is convenient.' Unless planned for, it will never seem to be convenient. On the other hand, what a joyous thing it is to establish the custom and habit in our homes that when parents visit their children in the latter's home after they are married, they will just naturally kneel with them in the usual established manner of prayer. I am grateful for my children who are teaching my grandchildren the blessing of prayer. I believe the first word I heard from Terry, Esther, Audrey, and Thomas's lips has been Amen. oftentimes repeated with great gusto and enthusiasm. This has been followed by Father in Heaven. The beginning of their earthly instruction has been to teach them who they are and how they can communicate with their eternal Father. I am certain the same practice will be followed for Benjamin, Michael, and Justin, just as soon as they are old enough to learn how to approach their Father in prayer. I can think of no greater teaching to our children than that of the power of prayer. We should do it by example and take our children daily before the Lord and give them the peace and assurance that can come from knowing they are a child of our Father in Heaven. May we this day commit ourselves to so live that we will go before the Lord with a clear conscience and ask for His divine guidance and assistance and express our gratitude to Him for the blessings He has given to us. May the power of prayer bless our homes. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.